If you watched trading on Wall Street yesterday, you may have noticed that the last hour was particularly draconian, and it followed, the sell-off followed a report from Standard & Poor's that General Motors was being downgraded. It's an indication that not only does the Standard & Poor's rating service consider that General Motors is a bad risk to pay back loans, but that General Motors might not even be around sometime in 2009. Joining us is Bill Vlasic, Detroit Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
The S&P downgrade was, I think, particularly alarming in the sense that GM has some very stark financial deadlines that they have to meet in the next few months, or they're literally not going to make it. Could you explain?
Well, General Motors has been under tremendous pressure, as has Ford Motor Company, to have enough cash to fund their operations. They are burning through at GM more than $1 billion a month and beyond their revenues. And, of course, revenues are shrinking because the car market is in a downward spiral. There's been a couple of reports recently that we may see less than 14 million in auto sales this year. And these are really deep losses in the market, in the automotive market. So GM thought that they may have a liquidity plan based on cutting costs and selling assets to boost their cash to maintain their financial health to get through this. But the lower the car sales go, the less that plan looks viable.
And it appears to me, by doing the arithmetic, that General Motors in 1929 was capitalized to something to the tune of $4 billion. Today, it's something on the order of $2.9 billion capitalized, meaning the value of all the outstanding stock. I mean, that's an outrageous decline, and the stock hasn't traded this low since 1950?
Well, these are times that are unprecedented. Because in 1929, the world was different. GM controlled the car market then. GM no longer controls the car market. GM and Ford could be bought for less than $8 billion for the two of them. Question is, who would want to buy these companies? They're, again, burning through billions in cash. They're losing billions on top of that, and they have just enormous obligations in pension and health care.
Bill, you know, you would think in theory with oil prices falling off 40% from their highs, more than 40% from their highs, that an auto company could take advantage of this. But the credit crisis means it is really a brick wall for General Motors.
This credit crunch has been tough for all automakers, not just GM and Ford. September was the first month in 15 years that less than a million cars were sold in this country in a month. Even Toyota was down over 30% during the month. So this freeze in the credit market has been a disaster. And on top of that, consumers, as we all know, are wary, frightened, and just not shopping right now. So General Motors and Ford are trying to stimulate demand. All these companies have some competitive products, but you can't lead a horse to water and force it to drink.
And Bill, John and I were just talking about the $25 billion that are slated to head to the auto companies in light of Bush's bailout plan. So there was sort of some good news on the horizon until this last 10 days or so.
Yeah, and that was separate from the financial bailout on Wall Street. I mean, this was a loan program that had been put in the fuel economy bill last year and was designed specifically to assist these companies in converting plants to build more fuel-efficient vehicles. They desperately need those dollars. Question is, how quickly can they get those? The loans were funded just a couple weeks ago now, and the Department of Energy has to write regs and process these loans, but they've got to get them soon. This can't wait 18 months or a year.
Right.
These companies are in need now.
They need the cash now. And, you know, one of the things that surprised me yesterday was seeing that General Motors isn't the only one affected. You've already mentioned Ford, but even Toyota is having problems in this environment. How broadly is the auto industry affected by this? And maybe there's just too many auto companies around.
Well, yesterday, J.D. Power put out their forecast, which was very bleak, 13.6 million vehicle sales this year, 13.2 million in the U.S. next year. I mean, we're used to 8 or 9 years now of 16 million sales a year. These are historic drops of 20% annually. There's been a new competition in the market in the last several years. Obviously, the foreign automakers have built plants in this country and added capacity. There's a lot of great models out there, and in this case, a lot of good products chasing too few customers. So there will be a shakeout, and if it claims General Motors, it would be one of the turning points in automotive history.
And, Bill, what does the latest news mean for Detroit, for the state of Michigan, for the Midwest in manufacturing and the car and the auto industry?
Well, Michigan has taken it on the chin for the last couple of years. We have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country, and we've lost hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs just in the last 3 years alone. Ironically, I was at the ceremonial opening of the new Toyota Technical Center outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan yesterday, a beautiful new $180 million facility where the governor of the state of Michigan was there to celebrate Toyota investing in the state. Anything that's done here, whether it's by Toyota, GM, or whomever, is welcome at this point because the Rust Belt is really on the skids.
30 years ago, they were sledgehammering Japanese cars in Detroit parking lots. Now they're the governor is meeting with the executives from Toyota. If there was ever a connection more strongly from Wall Street to Main Street, it's certainly the extent to which General Motors is connected to the broad economy in the United States. Beyond manufacturing of cars and the parts suppliers, where else is General Motors' impact felt in the United States, in the U.S. economy?
Well, General Motors has plants all over the United States, but not just that. They're suppliers, and it's a pyramid. Their suppliers are broad-based. Their dealers are in the thousands. Every dealer employs people across the country. And then GM has well over 1 million retirees who they pay almost their full health care for, not to mention pensions. These are people that, and the dealers and the suppliers, if they lose their jobs, there'll be a ripple effect if GM were to go bankrupt.
That would stop the pensions, yep.
Would disappear. It's going to raise the question, ultimately, is whether or not the federal government thinks that General Motors and Ford Motor Company and possibly Chrysler are as important to financially protect as they have
AIG and the
Wall Street.
Sure. Bill, we've been asking everyone today, what's another name for this financial meltdown? You got a name for us quickly before we go?
Oh, well, meltdown to me always conjures up nuclear reactors.
Quickly.
We use this. It's the perfect storm with the earthquake going on underneath.
That's great. Bill Vlasic, Detroit Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.